Now, we'd like to give you the opportunity to add to what Mike has said, if there's something in particular that you'd like to bring from your own perspective or from the group that you were part of a discussion, the discussion group that you were part of. There's a mic at the back there and one at the front here. We'd ask you to go to the mic if you'd like to, if you have something to say so that everybody can hear. And if you don't, we're going to let Ginny speak, so, you know. Ginny can fill any space, any length of time. We all, okay, thanks, Peter.
Yeah, I've been there before.
And can you identify yourself and your local Peter?
Yes, I'm Peter Voda from Local 31, which is Nicola Valley, which is primarily in Barrie. I just want to say a couple things. I think Mike's last comments about destroying our courage was very appropriate. That's the way I felt over the last several years, actually, is I felt an attack on my professionalism and my judgment and an attempt to destroy my courage as a teacher. I heard about voices of students in their own learning, and I know this came up a little bit in our own group, and I just wanted to say that in terms of that, we seem to minimize the voices of students when it comes to what it is they're actually going to learn and how they're going to learn it. We seem to think that there should be a curriculum out there and there should be some kind of structure that's already in place, and we don't question that very often. I actually meant to start out with this, and I'll just tell you, I've been disappointed. I was going to say twice, but that would be an understatement by a long shot, but at least twice by the Premier. And once was a couple of years ago during the last election, where the Premier refused to meet with a group of local teachers who were protesting out in front of an engagement where he was going to speak at. In fact, he snuck in the back door. And this is the second time where he refused to recognize me as the duly elected representative from our local to attend the Teacher Congress. And finally, I'd just like to end on the what to do portion, because you know, we spend a fair time in our group, I think, talking about, you know, how things are and how things could change, and but probably ran out of time in terms of what to do. And I just wanted to talk about one thing specifically, and we know, I think we know, I hope we know, that the FSA is professionally statistically unsound. So the question is, why do we continue to do it? And I would strongly urge the BCTF to, and its locals to consider withdrawing from that process in any way possibly that we can. And I also recognize that sometimes there's a certain amount of timidity in taking these kinds of actions, but I would have to say that we've been reasonably successful when we've decided that we don't like the way things are going. We decided to take some action. We did that with college 2 years ago, and we did that when we went on strike. And I think we can be successful when we stand up as professionals and say, this is not the way that we think teaching and education should be in British Columbia. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Charlie?
Charlie Wise, MLA Caribou South. Thank you for providing me a quick moment here of somebody else's time. I would draw my attention to this group. It's the control of the conversation and the topic that is discussed that is so important. And what I would like to share with you is my experience as a legislature, the Premier actually canceling the legislature in the fall session, and therefore taking control of the venue for which people's business is conducted. And so sharing that with you, the importance that I see for this group and other groups within the province is to ensure that the conversation and the control of that conversation is not taken over completely by the governing party here in British Columbia, so that there is a balanced point of view that is presented to the population here in BC, and they're given a reasoned chance to view pros and cons upon all topics, whether it's health, education, or the environment. Good luck with the rest of your conversation, and I have appreciated the opportunity for me to be able to drop in here today, albeit briefly. Thanks again.
Thanks, Jordan.
Pat Truelove from Delta. I, like everybody else, or like I guess most people, I'm really indignant that I'm here and not at this conference where there are ears from the government that are actually willing to listen to what teachers have to say. I think the problem with teachers being told, well, you have to speak out and going back and take this message back to our communities, I sense with my colleagues at home a lot of reluctance to speak out all the time. And I think one reason for that is that as teachers we believe in fairness, and we teach our students fairness all the time, that, you know, we have a really clear concept of what fairness and what justice means, and we kind of expect it still, despite all of our experience. We still somehow expect things to be fair somehow, that if we play by the rules, that things will be fair. And even coming down here on the SkyTrain today, I kind of thought, well, you know, we've played by the rules here, so I'm sure somebody will be here talking to teachers. There'll be, if not Premier Campbell, some representative from the government willing to listen to what we have to say. Silly, right? So I was making my notes for, you know, if I actually got to talk to somebody, what I would have to say to them, and I won't, I've got them here, but I won't bore you with them. But of course, I'm sensing this feeling that here I am, I was elected by 1,000 Delta teachers to come and talk about our concerns. And here we are talking to each other, and I don't know how much of the message is going to get out. So what I am going to do, though, I'm just bursting to go home and sit down at my computer and write all this down, and send it to the local media, and send my letter to the province and the Sun, and maybe somebody will print it. And I'd like to remind everyone here, please do that. At least we do have some input to the People's Media, which is the letters to the editors page. Let's go home and send in some letters and let people know about the legitimate Congress that happened here today. Thanks. Sorry for babbling on.
Okay, I think we'll do Kevin, and then I don't know your name, but
Julia.
And then we'll let Ginny make some remarks to send it off to lunch. Kevin.
Kevin Ambo, I'm from 36 Surrey. Just 3 points from our group that I wanted to share was the collegiality. There tends to be a change in the collegiality. There used to be a stronger collegiality with administrators and teachers working together towards the same goals, and there wasn't a pressure to meet the administrators' goals. It was meeting the students' learning. Second was the pressure of meeting the large curriculum, and I like to be inch thick and a mile wide because there's so much curriculum. That pressure has reduced student learning opportunities. The example that we used in our group was doing a role play of a student of the government. And if that role play, if you have your exam coming and you schedule 3 periods and it takes 6, something else has to drop, so you have to squeeze things in. So are you going to do the role play or not? The pressure is on to reduce those activities where learning can actually grow and expand beyond what you thought was going to happen. We don't have that when we're pressured into fitting the timelines. The third one with accountability was that when we sign our name to the report cards and IEPs, we're being accountable. That's our accountability to the school, to the district, to the parents, to the students. And that's not being accepted or respected. That was the 3 points. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Julia Hanksler from SD64 Gulf Islands. I think one of the important things that we need to be aware of, we had a new teacher in our group, and she was stating about how she really didn't have knowledge of the before time, before assessments and things like that. And I think that we have to be aware of the importance in a professional community of maintaining the cultural knowledge of how things were, how they can be. And there's a real commitment that we need to make sure that more new teachers are here or can connect with teachers who have that experiential knowledge of the before time, so that we can change things. This isn't, high stakes testing is not how it's always been, and it's not always how it has to be. That was one point. The other thing that I find is quite often there's a lot of naysaying when people come up with a possible solution. Oh, that can't work. It can't work because. I think what we have to do is we have to open up, brainstorm what the possible solutions could be, irrespective of constraints that you may think at the time are in place. And then what you need to do is say, okay, what's needed to make these things work? And then make the decision about viability. But don't make the judgment about viability just when people are trying to generate ideas. And I would really encourage BCTF to do that and encourage its members to do so. And in terms of alignment of actions, words, and priorities, we've talked about it at the ministry level. We talked about it in our groups at the district level. There are frameworks available to actually assess this. And there's a fellow, Spillane, out of Northwestern University, who's actually developed a framework where you can target the difference between what people and schools say are their priorities and what is actually the message coming through. And it's a really efficient one. It's just brilliant. So if you haven't taken a look at that, take a look at it.
Thank you, Julia. Now, just as Virginia's going to come up and say a few words, but I just want to remind you, lunch is outside. We're still running a little bit behind, but we're trying to be back in here by 1:15, so if you can get as close to that as you can, that would be great.
Thanks.
Jenny will wrap it up for us before lunch.
Mine is basically a report about what's happening at the other Congress, because I thought you may be wanting to know. They started off with a student presentation for 5 minutes, the life-changing impact of excellent teaching, followed by a group discussion, and then followed by a presentation on literacy, followed by a presentation on safe and healthy schools, followed by a presentation on, this is for this afternoon, on Aboriginal education and rural and distributed learning. Two of those sessions are being facilitated by principals and vice principal. And there is a PE coordinator doing the one on healthy schools, and the one on literacy is a teacher who is on leave to focus in on literacy. The other thing we are hearing is that there are about 130 people there. Remember, this Congress was going to have no more than 100. We don't know how many are staff people from the ministry. As you know, whenever you go to ministry held meetings, there tend to be a lot of staff people there as well. We do know that there are just over 80 teachers, but we don't know how many of them are public school teachers. The public school teachers who are there have raised concerns around class size, class composition, lack of support for special needs kids. The Premier's clip that was played to me was that the BCTF was invited and we chose not to attend. We all know what the real story is. And so my response back is, if we're all invited, just tell the Premier it'll take us less than 2 minutes to get there and we would all just march across the road.
Why don't we? Apparently,
there is high security there. You have to go through quite a few filters to get in. And just so you are aware, one person did stand up and say that they are there because they don't get an opportunity to have their voice heard by the BCTF, because we only bring people to meetings who toe the BCTF line. My response was, could somebody tell me what the BCTF line is? And also, because you know that some of those people have been hand selected, so that seemed like a perfect cueing for somebody to stand up and say that. And the Premier is doing this kind of his regret that once again we are over here and we're not wanting to let the voice of teachers be heard. And our response is, we do want the voice of teachers to be heard. And we've given the Premier binders full of material to show him class size, class composition, and all of those things are a problem. For today, here, we are here to engage in what is an educated person? What kind of curriculum, learning environment do we need in order to have all our students engage in productive learning? And that's where we will keep our focus, and all our findings, which are being kept by an independent writer who is not a BCTF member or a staff person, independent person who is hired to keep a record of all the proceedings, we will then do a report out. And once again, we have in this room teachers who are brand new to the profession, teachers who are not what you would call your union activists, your local. We don't have everybody in here who's a local president. We have elementary, we have secondary, and Mike summed it up. We have the non-enrolling teachers here. We have the full spectrum. But we also have our executive here. 11 executive members are here because we want to hear what you have to say, unlike the premier who does not. So enjoy lunch. We have a in-depth afternoon as we continue our rich dialogue. And thank you for your participation.